hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy.
This is Taz of the Moose with you here on this Friday morning on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Connor and Mike across the other side at the controls. Bogish with your updates as we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. We just gave you some college picks, Taz, to close out hour number one. NFL picks coming your way later on this hour. The Houston Nut will join us third and final hour as well, Taz. Yep. You know, on opening day of the NFL on Thursday, and we got into the game. And listen, the game deserved probably about 9-10 minutes. That was pretty much it. I mean, the game was an absolute doozy.
Stink fest.
Day if you're a Bear. Tough night if you're a Bear fan. Yeah. And a Packer fan, at least you got the win.
Chicago got the win, get out.
Right. Hopefully use the extra time in practice to get yourself ready for week two, Taz. But I'm sure if you're Roger Goodell, the last thing you want to have happening as Meek Mill is entertaining the crowd out there Chicago, right? Yeah. The last thing that you want to have happening is Antonio Brown and the Raiders dominating the conversation to where Drew Rosenhaus is on the field before the game, getting interviewed on NFL Network, going over the entire saga and scenario. And as we discussed a little bit last hour, Taz, I don't know where this ends up. You know, there's a lot of people that believe, and you voice your opinion in terms of that, you know, you would basically say goodbye, good luck, that, you know, you crossed a line you can't cross as a player, and that Antonio Brown needs to go his way. I've heard other guys basically say that. You know what, Antonio Brown's a really talented player. You need talent to win. If you're the Raiders, you got to look the other way. I probably have more of a lean, Taz, toward getting rid of him than holding on to him, but it would not surprise me if they decided to say, we're going to try and rebuild this relationship here.
Yeah, I respectfully disagree. And like you said, I just don't, you know, listen.
And I can understand that.
Yeah, no, listen, man, you know what it is? Like I was saying earlier, and you and I were discussing it. Look, everybody's going to say it because it's the truth. Anybody who's on TV or radio or online, streaming, whatever, or social media that covers mainstream sports, they're going to tell you, well, Antonio Brown is great. We know that, but he's a headache. He's a pain. And those are all true. He is great. I think he's the greatest receiver in the game. Moose, you feel like he's in the top. I don't want to put words in your mouth. It seems like you probably think he's in the top three.
Yeah,
you
basically.
Know, maybe not the best. I think he is the best. I mean, I know how great Beckham is and Julio Jones. I do. I think those guys are, I would, as far as in between the lines, when the ball's kicked off, to me, the best guy is Antonio Brown.
Fair.
But that's just me. But you cannot do all of this stuff that he's done for so long and the headaches he caused in Pittsburgh, and then you get another opportunity that Mayock and Gruden are giving you, and the millions of dollars you're getting, $30 million, whatever it guaranteed, whatever it is, and then go and do this, all this nightmare of the helmet stuff, which was just complete ridiculous. Like, you're the only player in the league, dude, that's been wearing a helmet for a long time, you're comfortable, and you got to change your helmet? What kind of entitlement is that? Just because you're such an awesome player, and because, you know, you make millions of dollars, and because you're a stud, that means that you could just be a big pain in the ass about your friggin' helmet? I mean, it was annoying. It's just nonstop.
And, Taz, it seemed like the ulterior motive was he wanted no part of training camp.
Well, that's what it was. It was just exactly.
It was a ploy to get out of training camp.
He had the issue with his feet, which I'll give him a pass on that. Again, I was saying it in the last segment. You know, you're in a cold tub in friggin' Paris in France. Fine, I got no problem with that. You're trying to get your body right, and you get frostbite on. Damn, I can't say
on
that.
On your it's feet,
a tongue twister.
Right, then you got to go through laser therapy to get it right because you don't have the proper apparel. Right. You're not dried off completely when you're going into that cryotherapy. In order to do that, and all of a sudden you end up with what you had on the bottom of your feet.
Right. So here's the thing: in long-winded form, what I'm saying is you cannot do what you did. The day before yesterday and yesterday, you can't go on Instagram and you cannot post an official letter from your boss, your general manager of the Raiders, Mike Mayock. You cannot post that. You cannot post that for public consumption and then comment on it the way you did. If you're
don't
Antonio
disagree.
Brown, you can't. Let me just read just so people know who's having in front of me. What he said, for those that don't know, the Antonio Brown letter from Mayock, I'm not going to get into all that. Moose, we laid that out, but basically he's getting fined $54,000 for missing practices and games and leaving the facility, all this stuff. And then Brown posts this private letter from his boss for public consumption. Okay, and then he says, Brown, on there, when your own team want to hate, but there's no stopping me now, devil is a lie, everyone got to pay this year, so we clear. So what I read in that, and I know you might feel a little different, which is we talked about it yesterday, you're saying, okay, but you understand what he means when he's saying your own team's got to hate. So that means they're fined the $54,000, the Raiders, he's pissed, he's saying they're hating on him. Instead of saying he deserves to be fined. But when he says the devil's a lie, he's posting that on Instagram on the letter from Mayock. I look at it like, and I think Mayock might look at it like he's calling Mayock the devil.
Or the Raiders. I mean, you know, it's a decision, organizational decision, right? So players, if you don't know, you know, players get, if you're going to get fined by a team or by the NFL, Taz, these letters come up. So every game's reviewed, right, in the National Football League. So if something transpires on a Sunday, usually if you're going to get fined by the NFL by Tuesday morning, there's a letter in your locker that you're going to get fined by the NFL. If it happens with a team, the team also puts a letter in your locker that you're going to get fined, right?
Right.
So if you're – now, let me ask you this, Taz. If you're Antonio Brown, did you expect the Raiders to look the other way over all the nonsense like other teams do? You know, we talk about – you know, holdouts in the NFL, right? We talk about holdouts and guys holding out, right?
Well, just with Elliott recently.
With Elliott, right? Do you think the Cowboys are going to fine Ezekiel Elliott for holding out throughout training camp?
No.
Neither do I. But they would be within their right to
correct.
Be able to hand
good
out
point.
A fine.
Yeah, good point.
To hand
good
out
point.
A fine, right? So
yes.
There's other things. I remember it happened with Michael Strahan when he was with the Giants, right? People were talking about the fact of, oh, he's missing this. You know what? They reached a settlement and accord when he came back and his contract was resolved with the Giants. I believe it was the final year or second to last year with him in a Giant uniform. He didn't pay the total amount of the fines that were racked up that he went through training camp. So Antonio Brown might be thinking to himself, well, I'm a veteran player. Why won't the Raiders look the other way? You know, why aren't they believing what I was telling them? They worked with me on the helmet. Why can't they be here to support me? Is it a little bit petty that they're fining me here $54,000? Could Antonio Brown have a beef being a 31-year-old star receiver and saying, other teams look the other way with their veteran star players. Why didn't the Raiders look the other way with this one?
I get your point. Let's say that's all true. And let's say that's maybe why Antonio Brown got pissed and posted this on Instagram. Let's say that's true. What he should have done is been an adult. Okay?
Don't disagree.
He's 31 years old. He's not a kid. He's acting like he's 18 years old. And go to Mayock and Gruden in a private meeting, which they would have with him, and say, hey, why, Mike, can we work this out? I understand why you're fining me total of $54,000, but can we figure this out? I was coming to camp. I did go home with the helmet thing. Then I came back. Can we work this thing out? I think this is a message. It was a message directly from Mayock to this guy, to Brown. We're not playing with you anymore. We're not playing games. You embarrass us enough. And then Antonio Brown posts that letter and that comment. So now, if you're Mayock, you're getting emasculated.
Oh,
this
no
guy's
doubt.
Punking you out.
Yes, agreed. No, no. Listen,
can't
Taz,
take that.
No. I'm not saying that
I know
Mayock should take that, Taz. No, I don't disagree with you. I guess my thing is, okay, I'm the Raiders. I'm not going to put blame on them, but I'm the Raiders. I know I've got a tricky situation.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I now know what the Steelers already knew about Antonio Brown, that he's a headache. Why poke the bear?
That's a great point. I think because you're... I don't know if you're asking a rhetorical question.
No, I was asking a question. Why poke the bear? Why add, we're about to start the regular season. It's been a long, long preseason with everything going on and all the distractions. Why now, say, all right, let's see how he reacts to this?
Well, I think it poses a good question, but a couple things. We don't know if anything else ticked off Mayock or Gruden behind the scenes in the past few days, right?
That's true.
So we don't know that part. Okay, that led to this. We don't know, right? But I think you pose a really good question that I have not heard anyone else ask. I think that's a really, really legitimate question. Why do it now? I'm not Mayock. You're not Mayock. I would think that Mayock probably did this and Gruden, because listen, Gruden's pulling the strings behind the scenes. At the end of the day, isn't Mayock like kind of... Mayock was there after Gruden. Gruden's right. Like his boss.
No, right. Gruden brought Mayock in. So, right, correct.
So he's putting the heat on Mayock, Gruden. And Gruden's being a good cop here.
Right. Mayock's good cop, bad cop.
Right. It's exactly... It's so obvious. But anyway, so maybe it's a thing where let's set a tone with this guy right now and enough of this. Or maybe in practice, this might sound crazy, maybe he wasn't doing... Maybe when Hard Knocks went away, maybe it was like, wow, this guy's not... All the bag of chips we thought he was. He's not picking up the offense. Let's set a tone with him. Tell him, listen, we'll send you this letter. They set the tone with him. So get rid of your entitlement and your BS. I don't think they expected him to post it on social media unless they did. Maybe they wanted him to explode. You can't.
I don't think they probably, you can never know. I mean, Antonio Brown, he's wacky, right?
He is.
I don't know if you never know exactly what Antonio Brown is going to do. And someone could say, well, you can't live in fear of a player. If you feel like a player should deserve to be fined, you should be fined. Now, if you want to send a message to the rest of the team, this is a letter that was just for Antonio Brown's consumption. It was not for everybody else. If you want to send a message for the team that this nonsense is going to stop, you could do something more public around the team for Antonio Brown in terms of in practice, whatever it might be, rather than handing him this fine letter. I mean, I'm not blaming the Raiders for anything. They knew what they were getting involved in. They knew he could potentially be a headache, and the relationship is crumbling right before him. I guess I look at it as that things had finally settled down, right?
Right.
There was pictures of him with his dopey new helmet earlier in the week.
The Zenith 569-22.
Right, that he's getting paid for and everything like that. He's got a sponsorship deal and everything.
He's got helmets all over his locker.
Everything has finally settled down. I guess I look at the timing of it and say, if you're looking to get the best out of him, why would you need to do that now?
Let me say this, and you might know the answer to this, you might not. I don't know the answer to this. And everybody that's on hold, we'll get to you guys. 855-212-4227. A lot of you guys want to talk about Antonio Brown. And if you want to call the show, call. But you guys on hold, we'll get to you guys in a sec. Moose, so I'm going to ask you this. Off of your awesome question about why now by the Raiders and Mayock, and I don't know the answer, you might. Is there something... I don't know the legalities or whatever with the team rules and stuff like that, where before the season starts, any fines or stuff from preseason or camp, you got to get out now before week
one? I don't know that answer, but I would imagine you can't find a guy in week 8 for something that transpired in August.
So maybe that's why, in defense to Mayock.
No, that's true.
And Gruden,
true, but I guess I could say, why not just look the other way and just be like, listen, we got through it. Let's focus on football. Why do any of this? And, even if you have to take the higher road and be your Mike Mayock and maybe swallow a little bit of pride,
right?
Maybe you need to do that.
I think that's the right. You just hold on. When you said about swallow pride with Mayock, let's forget Gruden for a second. Both these guys are ego guys, okay?
Oh, no doubt.
They both are.
Yeah.
And Mayock is a blue collar, old school. This
guy is
a Pennsylvania guy, went to Boston College, a football guy. Played for the Steelers, played in the Canadian League. I remember
Giants,
that. Played for the Giants. This guy is a football man, and he's a blue-collar guy. He's draft expert. We've seen him for years on the NFL Network. This guy's a successful broadcaster. He's a smart guy that's got some, I think, old-school ethics about him. So I don't think he's looking to swallow his pride. Meaning, and you know what? Frankly, he shouldn't. The money you're paying this cat, I know you're not saying he should. And when you said the line of why poke the bear, I think you make a good point. But here's the thing, Moose. I feel Mayock and Gruden, they don't want anyone on that team, including Brown, to feel like they're the bear. The bear is the owners, the front office, the coaches. I'm not speaking like I'm telling you. I'm just saying that's what I think.
And Taz,
they don't want to empower him anymore.
We're talking about individuals that are very confident, self assured, and have got a big time ego, right? Yeah. So, I mean, with Mayock, Rudin, Davis, Mr. Haircut, strange
gimmick.
Hair and all,
total gimmick Jones, yeah.
But I guess I'm looking at it from a talent perspective, Taz. You know, sometimes you have to understand what you can and what you can't do to players. What you can in terms of pushing guys. Not everybody can be pushed in the same direction and get the reaction that you're looking for. And if I'm looking to try and get the best of Antonio Brown, maybe I say, all right, let bygones be bygones. Let's move on here. If something comes up during the regular season, I'm going to really hammer him with a fine. But I'm going to let this one go and let's focus on the Broncos.
I mean,
you could look at it that way, but listen, I don't think they ever expected Taz for him to say what he said on Instagram and for him to post that letter.
All right, I hear you, man.
855-212-4227, that's the number to call.
That's right. Let's go out to Alaska, way out to Alaska. Talk to Max, listening on 590 AM. Max, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's up?
Hey, not too much. I just wanted to call in on about the Antonio Brown thing. I don't think that I really agree with you guys just for a few quick reasons is that I don't think there's a bigger Antonio Brown fan than it is John Gruden. And I think that even when he talked to the media yesterday, after everything that unfolded, he was still speaking very highly of Antonio Brown. So that kind of leads me to believe that, I think that John Gruden is a bigger Antonio Brown fan than he is a Mike Mayock fan, and he's the one steering the ship.
Well, Max, I don't completely disagree with you, but I'm letting you know, my man, and I saw that press conference, as Moose did also, with Gruden. I'm telling you right now, though, and I got a feeling Moose would agree, because here's the deal, dude. He's playing good cop, man. Gruden's playing good cop. And I saw Hard Knocks, just like you probably did, Max, and he was kissing the ass of AB, for sure. But I'm telling you, I think they're at a point where it's like, enough with this guy. And I do think that Gruden's the guy steering that ship, and Mayock's right with him on it. And I got to tell you, I don't think they're wrong. Just my opinion, you know. And I don't know how much of a fan that Gruden is, Max, still, of Antonio Brown's character. I don't think so. I don't think he is anymore.
He likes it. And John Gruden brought Mike Mayock aboard. You know, Gruden is running.
Thanks, Max. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Max. Gruden's running the franchise.
That's right.
If Gruden is not all of a sudden soured here on Mike Mayock in the span of 5-6 months, that is not the case. They work hand in hand. You know, he's working with them on a day in, day out basis. You know, it's their franchise that they're running together here. But Gruden, is the boss. I mean, that is. You look at Antonio Brown, Gruden here, what you heard from yesterday, I heard Mariucci make a great point, a former coach, right? NFL Network, Taz, make a great point about Gruden. He goes, look at Gruden's comments for what they are yesterday. Paraphrasing here. He's trying to maintain the relationship with Antonio Brown should the player return. If he comes out yesterday and absolutely lambastes Antonio Brown, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
I mean, then it's over. There's no path for... I'm not telling you that Antonio Brown's going to be back with the Raiders, but what Gruden did yesterday smartly, regardless of what he feels about Antonio Brown privately, what he did publicly was talk about the fact of what Antonio Brown is and spoke positively and reworking and looking into the situation and everything like that to keep the door open of a possibility of him and Brown having a player-coach relationship should he return to the Raiders.
Of course, because he's got to deal with him on the daily.
He's got to deal with him.
Right, and it's something else we have not brought up, Moose, and it's very important to mention, because Antonio Brown did this with the Steelers, because he's obsessed with social media, this guy. He unfollowed the Raiders and Derek Carr on social media. Now, remember, he did that with
Carr's
the Steelers.
Like, what'd I do?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Like, what's up with that?
This?
You were at my house a few weeks ago hugging me.
What did I do wrong?
My quarterback.
Right. Yeah, I didn't do anything wrong here. Why can't you follow me?
I picked up like I picked up like 6,000 followers after you followed me.
That's like I get into an argument with Mark Chernoff, our program director here. Let's say hypothetically, right? We didn't even get to a big argument, and I unfollow the Moose.
Right?
Like,
hey, what did I do?
What happened?
Yeah, right.
Like, what? It's not my fault.
That's it.
All right, let's go out down to Miami. Talk to Jeff. Listen on radio.com. Jeff, what's up?
They got a couple things. Mayock may have been in the hot seat, but I was so proud of the whole team stood up. One of them approached Mayock and Gruden and said, if you got to do what you got to do, you want to keep them or you want to let them go, we'll support you 100%. And Mayock, and I have to say that the next logical thought, I would let him go. I mean, first of all, I would let him go because if a dog bites you, you take him in the back of the barn and you do what you got to do, man.
Huh?
And the next logical thought would be Belichick. If they could handle Gordon, then they could handle
AB. Little bit different. Gordon and AB are two different. And Jeff, we appreciate the call. Thanks
Gordon,
so much.
Gordon has an addiction to marijuana.
Big difference.
And he did when he was coming out of college. I mean, Josh Gordon was as athletically gifted of a college player coming out of Baylor as there was. But,
that's right.
You know, the NFL teams took him off the draft board because they did not think that he'd be able to stay in the league because he liked to smoke marijuana. So, and it's obviously a little bit too much. And that was kind of went hand in hand. It was his thing. So you look at Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon's not a bad guy. Josh Gordon's not a distraction. Right. Josh Gordon, unfortunately, can't stay within the boundaries of the drug policy in the National Football League to where he can't prevent himself from failing drug tests, which get him suspended. Roger Goodell did not have to welcome him back into the league this year, and he had a lifetime ban that he basically returned him and brought him back into the league.
As far as like what the last call said, one quick thing: the bite. Like when a dog bites, then you get rid of the dog. You bring the dog to a pound, because if a dog bites you once, for any pet owners, they know. Like, you know, unless you have like a little baby dog, that's not going to hurt you. But you know, like I had a Rottweiler when I was young, and then we had a big German Shepherd, and the German Shepherd bit one of my brother's friends.
Well, I get
and
my that. I just like, want to take him back to the barn or the shed and shoot him myself.
Thanks. Well, Lane.
I mean, that's what the caller referenced.
I tried to move on from that comment, but yes. No, I know.
But I agree with you. Take him to the vet. I understand.
That's what not the vet. To the pound. Say, okay, you can have this dog now. He bit one of my family members. We're done with this pooch. So that's, I get the point on that, because Antonio Brown, to that caller's point, once he snaps and threatens to punch the GM in the face, you know, that's a problem.
It'll be interesting.
Just imagine, before as we go to break here, anybody out there listening, if you punched your boss in the face, I'm not suggesting you do it, or if you threaten to punch him in the face or her in the face or whatever, if you threaten to do that, what would happen to you at your job?
But it's also a little bit different. I'm not going to the field and laying my body on the line either every single day. There's different. You walk into the bank and all of a sudden, you know, you're like, you're threatened to, you know, all of a sudden you get a deposit wrong and the manager gets on you and you threaten to punch your manager in the face. Yeah, you're going to be fine.
Just
I
imagine.
Understand that.
But
we're talking about football here, and
it's still a job, though.
Taz, there are a lot of people. There are a lot of guys that look the other way on things in the NFL because of talent.
Right. I know that.
The pressure to win games. We'll get more into it.
Oh, yeah.
It's Taz and the Moose on this Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
This is WWE superstar, the Man, Becky Lynch, and you're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
The Moose. Sunday, the NFL on CBS schedule kicks off with two of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the game, Baker Mayfield
and Patrick Mahomes making their highly anticipated 2019 debuts. Check local listings for the game in your area. It all begins with the NFL today, only on CBS. If you want to chime in on the entire saga surrounding Antonio Brown out there in Oakland, what would you do? Would you gamble on the talent, try and rebuild the relationship, or did Antonio Brown cross a line and basically say, you know what? It's going to stink not having a talent like him on the football field and our offense, but we got to get rid of him and cut bait and move on from Antonio Brown. Want to hear from you. 855-212-4227, your number to call. Bogus is in the house. What's up, Andrew?
Guys, I don't say this enough, but thank you again for having me. I appreciate it.
Valuable airtime.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's it. Well, it's true. It's an amazing platform. Right. Moose makes a good point.
Make sure, right.
I mean, you got to be... You can't be entitled like the real AB.
No.
A-Bree, right? You can't do that. You got to be humble. It's about humble,
I'm doing
Andrew.
My best.
It's about humble, you know. And by the way,
we're
you seem
the two
like
the most humble hosts in all of radio.
Absolutely.
I learned it from watching you. Right. You're right.
So the thing is, Andrew, before you get into your update, you seem like the type of guy that's wanted to punch your boss in the face once or twice at other jobs.
No,
not just
here. Not this one.
Not this job.
And none of the bosses
so,
we've had here.
You know, with Antonio Brown threatening to do that to Mike Mayock, I was saying to Moose earlier, I mean, there's probably a ton of people out there that wanna say to their boss, I want to punch you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Probably millions of people.
Mm.
But you can't do it.
No.
You can't say that because you're threatening the guy or girl.
And you probably shouldn't do it in a place that's public where there's a lot of witnesses and people whose job it is to report on such instances.
Especially, like, if you do that behind closed doors, let's say, Andrew, you go down to Mark Chernoff's office. He calls you in there. He says, you know, that update you did on Taz and Moose really sucked.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Shut up.
Yeah, shut up, Mark. And you threaten to punch Mark. And
you're
then
Mark.
You are a Mark. And then Mark gets up and just kicks you right in the yam bag, which would be hilarious. And you double over it.
Me versus Mark would be the worst fight ever.
It would be awesome.
What would that be? Like super flyweight? What would our weight class be? Because neither one of us are big
gentlemen.
Yeah,
they call that youth fighting.
Yes.
Right.
You guys are smaller guys. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, geez. Boys, bantamweight. So maybe some preseason snaps would have been a good idea for the Packer and Bear offenses. Both teams held their starters out all summer, then watched them play varying forms of terrible last night in Chicago. The home team never even found the end zone.
Snap, Trubisky, shotgun, rushes on, Trubisky looking. He's going to be hit.
Wayne Larrivee on Packers Radio, fifth and final sack of Mitchell Trubisky, who was also picked off in the end zone late in the fourth quarter. His offense produced only a first quarter field goal, losing 10-3 to their rivals from Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, very thankful for his defensive teammates.
It's been a long time since I've seen a performance like that.
Rodgers' 8-yard connection to tight end Jimmy Graham in the second quarter, the only TD of the night. Each team committed 10 penalties and each allowed 5 sacks. They combined for 17 punts. The Bears at one point faced a 1st and 40 thanks to 3 consecutive penalties. But the most embarrassing thing in the NFL remains Antonio Brown and the Raiders. The wideout reportedly threatened to punch GM Mike Mayock during a heated exchange on Wednesday. AB apparently mad over the $54,000 fine he received for missing training camp practices. He did not practice yesterday and isn't expected to play Monday night against the Broncos. Whether he is simply inactive or technically suspended remains to be seen. Vikings wideout Stephon Diggs back at practice yesterday after dealing with a hamstring issue on Wednesday. And Nick Foles put in a full workout in Jacksonville despite a sore groin. Last night's Marlins-Pirates game wouldn't get a mention this morning had Brian Moran not made his major league debut after 10 seasons in the minors. The lefty Miami reliever struck out younger brother Colin, the Pirates' third baseman.
I was a little more nervous than I thought I'd be when I saw him step in the box, but it was pretty cool. I can't dream up a cooler way to get your first strikeout.
A pitcher facing his brother in his big league debut had never happened before, at least dating back to 1900.
Oh, wow.
You seem primed for a bigger interruption there. You're clearing your throat, adjusting your seat.
Move on.
Cubs thumped the Brewers 10-5, dropping Milwaukee five games back for the second NL wild card. The Astros. Thanks, Moose. The Astros outscored the Mariners in 13-11-9 on Michael Brantley's two-run homer, and the Rays down the Jays 6-4 to stay a half game clear of the A's atop the wild card standings. Serena Williams took care of Yelena Svitolina in straight sets to reach the or to return to the U.S. Open final. Serena can finally match Margaret Court's all-time mark of 24 major titles tomorrow against 19-year-old Canadian Bianca Andreescu. And from college football, Stanford has ruled out QB KJ Costello for tomorrow's game at USC. Costello took a forearm to the head last weekend. Junior Davis Mills makes his first career start. Boys,
all right.
Thank you.
Great job, buddy.
I appreciate it. Great job, as always.
Awesome. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Head to Savannah, Georgia, right, Taz?
Yeah, sounds good. Love to do that. Let's talk to Jeff. Listen on 900 AM. Jeff, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's going on?
Hey, guys. I listen a lot. This is my first call.
Thanks, man.
Thank you,
but I think at this point, you've got to cut Antonio Brown.
Right.
This isn't a team that's littered with veterans that can control that locker room. You have a lot of young guys, three first-round picks.
Yep.
These guys are looking at Antonio Brown as how to be a pro. If you let this happen and you let it stand, you're going to lose control of that locker room.
I don't disagree, Jeff, at all. I don't disagree at all, and that's kind of what I've been saying. I don't think Moose disagrees. Moose is bringing up a different narrative of what some people think too. Obviously, how talented the guy is. I don't want to speak for you,
looking
but
at
you know,
things.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't, based on the talent of the player, you know, it's not as cut and dry as just that. And I get that that's probably the most logical, rational way to look at it. But sometimes logic goes out the door in the National Football League when you look at how teams look at players that can help them win football games. If I had a bank guy, would I want Antonio Brown on my team? No, I would not. If I think he overstepped his bounds, certainly. I think if you want Mayock to continue to be your general manager, then you have to get rid of Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I mean, you got it. And we appreciate the call, Jeff. Thanks so much. I mean, you have you got to set a tone. I mean, if this was, Dwayne Harris doing this, who's on a depth chart third.
No doubt, I mean, receiver, he'd be gone, right.
But it's, to your point, though, Moose, the league, these teams, they're full of double standards. And
no doubt.
So that's the point you're making.
Yeah,
you're not wrong.
And it's easy to say, wow, that shouldn't be the case. But, Taz, I mean, everybody is looking around. You want guys that are going to catch touchdowns and help you win games, and you don't want to be dreadful, and you want to be a winning franchise, a winning organization. And Antonio Brown, even with all the headaches, he can help your team win.
Right. No, I know he can, but that's a tough tone. That's a tough table you're setting
sure.
if you're going to let someone get away with that, as we're discussing. Let's go out to Springfield, Missouri. Moose, talk to Austin. Listen on radio.com. Austin, you're on with Taz and Moose. What's going on?
Taz and Moose, happy Friday to you guys.
Oh, happy Friday,
look at
Austin.
This guy. Happy
up,
Friday. That's
love
a radio
that.
Term. Yes.
Thank you. Oh, you say happy Friday
love,
to people.
I know you love those radio terms, Taz.
Oh, yeah, I love all the radio terms,
yes,
Austin.
Right, yes, exactly. Good moment, Austin.
Oh, there it is.
There you go. Right. Good moment. Well done, yes, Moose. Good moment.
What's up, man?
Oh, well, I just wanted to say real quick, and I was telling Mike on the phone, but I've been enjoying the podcast between basketball drives and you know, y'all's podcast each day at work, and it
thank you.
Really makes the workday flow go better. So I just want to thank
Austin,
you guys for that.
You are locked into the entire Taz and the Moose
family.
The yeah, no
family.
Doubt. I mean, you were. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about you are a super fan down there. You're listening to Basketball Drives, Taz of the Moose podcast, Taz Show podcast.
Well, he didn't say Taz Show. I'm a little concerned.
I'm sorry. I do listen to the Taz Show podcast.
Make sure to check out that Naira podcast, me and Monzo.
We talk about
one later on today.
How much time are you getting in your day, bro?
Oh, you got all the time. Yeah. What's on your mind with
what's
Brown,
up,
Austin?
Well, anyway, just on AB, I just want to ask you guys something. What happens when you generally skip work and then you also end up yelling at your boss? You're gonna get cut.
Mm. You're gonna get fired or suspended. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And you know, ultimately, I think I don't know what's gonna happen with AB. I think he'll probably just get suspended. But I think you got to cut ties with the guy. I know he's a great receiver, one of the best in the league. But you know, like you all said, you just can't go off on your boss like that, and you can't.
Yeah.
Work. And like you said, Taz, if it was, you know, say this was maybe Hunter Renfrow,
Right.
Would he lose his spot?
Right.
I think he definitely would.
He probably would. He's a rookie, great player coming out of Clemson, but he's a rookie. That's the thing. You can't, you know, I know there is, and Austin, we appreciate the call, and we appreciate the support of our podcast and Mikey B's and everything. So, and get on that Naira podcast with Monzo and Moose. No.
Thank you, Taz.
You got it, bro.
No, but I will say, listen, there's, you know, it's, and we've had this conversation. I'm trying to remember what we had this conversation about before. But you could go into any, you know, if say, for argument's sake, you want to, say, focus in on radio, right?
Yeah.
you know, Howard Stern. Right, who's a
legend,
great, right?
Great,
you know, if you watch, you read his, you know, his first book, the one that they made into a movie about his life and everything like that. When, you know, when he was at WNBC, he famously would poke fun and make fun of his program director, and they would get into arguments every single day.
Right, right, right.
Howard Stern generated money,
millions,
and ratings,
Sure,
and was watched and was listened to.
Right,
was a huge star and didn't go anywhere. I mean, there are guys. I know for a fact there are radio stars that have, you know, cursed out or yelled or screamed at their bosses.
Right, right, right.
And nothing happens.
I know that.
They continue to do their job. And they go on the air that day. Him or her go on the air that day, the next day, and nothing transpires.
You're right. And I do think your example is a tough one, because radio, that happens in radio. You go on the air. Like, we come up, we'll poke fun at our boss, or if we get into an argument or whatever, it happens. I think radio is a tough example because that does happen a lot. But you know what I mean?
We're talking about the machismo world of the National Football League, where guys are playing with emotion every single week, where they're laying on their body on the line, where you have guys with egos that are as big as the United States.
Right.
And we get into a heated discussion, and we're, you know, I have a hard time drawing that. Taz, I don't know if there's a fair example to draw an example to another line of work, but there really isn't another fair example, because, you know, we could joke around about walking in an AB and Chernoff getting into a fight, or you walking into your bank or down a Wall Street or a place of work. It's just not the same. It's not a similar comparison.
The job I had for years is similar. I think you could talk about
from the
wrestling industry, I think is something that you could use. And I can promise you, if anyone ever mentioned to a Vince McMahon or someone in the McMahon family or someone, any promoter I wrestle for, that it's a very physical, violent business, and there's machismo and testosterone flowing and you're like crazy after a match, during the day. If you ever, I've never seen someone threaten to punch a boss in the face, ever, because a promoter, you get fired, you're done.
But a similar thing in terms of not Vince, but somebody, you never saw a wrestler get into it with one of the guys that worked for Vince.
Getting into it, yes, I've done it. I've gotten on.
Nobody has ever
threatening to punch someone. That's a different story.
I've never seen that.
And as crazy of a world I'm from, during ECW.
No,
with Paul Heyman as the boss, everybody was nuts.
No, I get it. I get it. That's fair. That's a fair comparison when you bring up your days as a wrestler.
We want to come back.
We'll talk a little NFL. I understand. We're going to get to break.
We have a lot of people want to talk about AB.
What are you, Pilates today all of a sudden?
I just want to make sure we do the right thing. I don't want no problems. I don't want to threaten nobody.
NFL
picks. I don't want to punch nobody.
One NFL picks.
People calling.
Coming your way next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Get your calls.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Major League Baseball legend Frank Thomas. You're listening to Taz and Moose on the CBS Sports Radio.
There you go. On a Friday morning, 855-212-4CBS, your number to call. Let's head down to Alabama. It's Melvin. It's CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Melvin?
How you doing today, man?
Good, buddy. How are you, man?
Everything's well, man. I just want to show, man. I appreciate the whole station. I always get good sports talk listening to you guys. But I got an apology, man. I called a station 2 days ago, man, talking about how y'all are blowing everything out of proportion about, oh, it's just a helmet. It's just, you know what I'm saying, AB's just. But to post that fine is the total level of disrespect. I'm a diehard Steelers fan. That is my favorite player in the game.
Yeah, continue. Go ahead. You there? Melvin, you gone?
He dropped off.
I'm still here.
Okay, go for it. We lost you. You were saying that's your favorite player in the game. I continue. All right, Melvin, you got a bad connection, my man.
Yeah,
you're breaking up too much, man. We appreciate the call. Look, it sounds like he's just he's had it too with Antonio Brown. That's what it sounds like. Let's go out to Oxnard, California, talk to Brandon, listen on radio.com. Brandon, what's going on?
Yeah.
How you doing?
What's going on? Love your show.
Thank you.
I listen to you all the time. My quick question was, my comment was, I actually got a friend of mine that used to play in, for the San Diego Chargers. And to be honest with you, a lot of these NFL players ain't never had a job before. So it's like when you're like 14, 15 and have your first job, you know how you have some conversations with your parents of how to conduct yourself in a place of business. A lot of these guys, most of the conversations they've had with their parents have been mostly about football. Mm. Their first real job was the NFL. They carry themselves in a place of business like they do when they're in the street.
Brandon, let me stop you right there. Brandon, you are 1,000% correct, in my opinion. You're right. Most kids that are better athletes in certain sports, when they're younger, they do not have regular jobs. It happened to my son. So you're right. And then once they get a regular job, they got to learn how to conduct business a little bit better. And then a little bit older, now they got to learn how to work somewhere. So I think you make a really good point that I have not heard anybody else mention.
And as far as I'm a big time Raiders fan, and I'm gonna be honest with you. You coming at your boss like that, I feel like you gotta cut him. You gotta get rid of him. I understand your talent, but right. You gotta get rid of him.
Yeah, because you're setting the wrong tone.
Just like your job right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you do. It's like I understand what Moose was saying about it's a contact sport, but it's like it's a contact sport on the field. In the office, which you call that's something different. You know what I mean?
Well, that's
it's
why like, I gave an example of my world in the wrestling industry, and it's very ultra physical and violent, and it's a tough physical business, and with some crazy dudes in it. I've never had seen anyone threaten a promoter ever.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not something that you see.
You got
yeah,
it. Take
you
care,
got
man.
Brandon. It's not something that you see all that often, obviously, in the National Football League. I mean, there have been altercations or verbal arguments between players and coaches. You go up and down the line. I mean, at one point in time, you had Bill Parcells referencing a receiver as she because the receiver could not stay healthy, being Terry Glenn of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Let me just finish for a second.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You look at this scenario in terms of Antonio Brown. I'm not telling you that, what he did was correct. No, it's not correct. And I think for in all likelihood, he's going to be let go, regardless of what Drew Rosenhaus said in Chicago last night on the field before the Thursday night game. I do think it's, I mean, you can compare it to wrestling. I don't think you can compare it to really any other line of work. I don't.
I think
you also have to, respect is respect. You learn, some guys get it, some guys don't, in terms of respecting people, respecting others, respecting people that in that line of work, whatever. I think either, it's something that's taught when you're growing up. I get that when guys, especially now in today's day and age where you have a young athletes getting, put on recruiting websites at 13, 12, 13, 14 years of age. I mean, I get it. And it's a big money business. But, to be respectful, I don't know if you necessarily have to work when you're 17, 18 years of age.
So you're alluding to the last caller.
Yes, correct.
Right. Well, I
think you either have respect or you don't.
I understand respect, and you're right. You're right about that. I agree with that, too. But I agree with that last caller, and it's true. There are certain ways, these better athletes, when they're younger, most of them don't have time to have regular jobs. And I get your point about respect, and I agree with it, and you're right. But there is certain etiquette that you don't learn in a regular job because you don't have one, because you're busy training, because you're trying to get on that recruiting radar. Maybe you are committed early. I live this as a parent. So it's tougher for kids to have regular jobs because they're constantly working at their craft, at their sport, and at getting their academics and all that stuff. So it's a little tougher.
I get that the time constraints of a young athlete. I understand that. I also think Antonio Brown doesn't really respect anybody.
Well, yeah,
I don't think this is. I don't think he acted. I don't think it's the way that he acted, and him threatening Mike Mayock is the fact that he didn't grow up having a normal job,
right,
or he didn't grow up in understanding that. I don't think he respects really anybody.
Right.
I think you see that on social media, Taz. You've seen that in interactions. You see the way that he refers to himself. The fact is, he has little to no respect for. You know what? He should look in the mirror and say, you know what? I did wrong. I did wrong. I didn't do right by an organization that just rewarded me with a contract for a team that I've never done anything for. I did wrong throughout the course of training camp. You know what? He acted like a petulant child that got caught in a lie and didn't want to be fined. That's the problem you have with Brown. One of your calls at 855-212-4227. Taz Moose, Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.